You know, there's two kind of bad things that people fall into. They can either deny that there is a devil, or they can say that there's a devil behind every bush. And both of them are, wrong things. There's a lot of people who just don't believe in a literal, actual devil at all. And then, as I was telling you last night, I get some weird calls through the years. One lady said that the devil was in her washing machine and wanted to come over and exercise her washing machine. And then one preacher had told this lady that she suffered from the demon of post-nasal drip. All kinds of crazy stuff that people can go into. But most of our problems, as I was telling you last night, are not with the devil, but are with the world, which is the philosophies that the world has. And we talked to you about evolutionism and hedonism and humanism, those philosophies, that's the world, they leave God out. And then the flesh, that's our old nature. Now, in relationship to how the devil works, we saw last night, 1, 2, 3, and 4, on the bottom of page 1, the devil veils the gospel. He wants to hide the gospel. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4, if our gospel be hid, it's hid unto them that are lost. If we can, if he can intimidate us to keep our mouth shut, then that's fine. And then the devil is our tempter. And then the devil is the root of human viewpoint. It might seem rational to us, but biblically it doesn't line up. And then the devil is constantly trying to harm our own righteousness. By that, embarrass us in our testimony, get us to do something that would embarrass it, or trying to undermine the righteousness of God. Now, number 5, the devil's a great liar and a deceiver. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of John. John chapter 8 and in verse 44. And if this is not underlined in your Bible, I would suggest maybe that you underline it. It says he's talking to the Pharisees. They were very religious, but he said, "Ye are of your father the devil." It says, "And the lust of your father ye will do." And then it says this, "He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him." It says, "When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for," here it is, "he is a liar and the father of it." Right from the very beginning, back in Genesis chapter 3, you don't need to turn there, but when he came to Eve, he said, "Yea, hath God said?" He's getting Eve to doubt the word of God, and he replaces it with his own truth, and he says, "You'll not surely die." God just knows that you're going to be as gods, deciding for yourself what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's evil. And so he's a great deceiver, and when somebody tells a half-truth, what is it? It's a lie. A half-truth is a lie. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 9, or 12 and verse 9. Last book of the New Testament, Revelation chapter 12, down in verse 9. It says, "And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan," and here it is, "which deceiveth the whole world." You see, we know from the New Testament that Satan transforms himself as an angel of light. Satan never comes in the hideousness that he really is. It's very very interesting. As I told you, for 20 years, I was a resource person for law enforcement professionals, psychological professionals, even some medical professionals and all this kind of stuff. And the devil always kind of portrays himself as, you know, wants to give you some kind of inside wisdom that maybe God is keeping from you. I've seen that happen so many times, oftentimes in relationship to the devil, to the occult, to those type of things. People are drawn in by talking about some secret knowledge, secret insight that they can have. And a lot of times it's involved around sexual immorality and drug abuse. And so they say, oh, come on, just try it and you'll see how wonderful it is. And so the devil never shows himself to be as hideous and as nasty as he really is. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10. Revelation chapter 20 and in verse 10, it says this, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. But see, deception. It's very interesting how people can get tricked by deception. How many of you ever heard the phrase, if it sounds too good to be true, then it's too good to be true. I just remember very early on in my marriage, we were expecting my son, Stephen. And we got in touch with this guy, or he got in touch with us, and he wanted to sell us this miraculous thing. It was called Baby Butler. And Baby Butler, it was a high chair. It was a bouncy chair. It was a swing. Yeah, it was a swing. It was a changing table. And not only that, you know, you get pictures of your baby, but this is a deal that you got to decide on right now. And so, like a sucker, I thought, "Wow, is that really cool?" And so we bought the Baby Butler thing, and it's interesting that 2 weeks after I went back because I didn't get all the stuff that I was supposed to get, and the office was closed and the doors were locked. And the Baby Butler, it was a nightmare. It's kind of like buying one of these tools. If you buy one of these tools, it does everything. It's a drill. It's a saw. It's a, you know what? Every time you feed the baby in the chair, but you want to make it a swing now, guess what? You got to take it all apart and then make it a swing, but it's time for the baby to eat lunch, so you have to put it back, together again. Well, oftentimes that's how Satan gets people hooked into sin. If we remember, Moses said that he chose to suffer with the children of Israel rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a what? Season. Nobody's denying that sin can't be pleasurable. And it's a sad, sad situation. I am so upset with how I see so many states now legalizing marijuana. Let me just tell you my own tragic family story. My brother, Mark, he's 11 years younger than me. I didn't get to know him real well because I was out and gone earlier on in college and so on. So I got to know him a little bit when he was a kid. But he was they did tests, and he was a genius. He was the genius in the family. And so he, after I go away to college, and my brother Mark starts hanging around with my girl cousin, and they started doing marijuana together. My mom caught them, and her brother said, no, she would never do such a thing as that. But I'll tell you what, marijuana is, back then in the 60s, it wasn't as strong and potent as it is today with the stuff that they're growing now. But it is a gateway drug. And my brother liked the highs that the marijuana gave him. So he goes away to community college. And he gets hooked up with some people who are doing LSD. Lysergic nucleic acid. And he starts dropping acid. And he actually, literally, destroys his mind. And I'm kidding you not, the best job that my brother Mark ever has had was washing dishes in two restaurants because he damaged his brain so bad. Started out with marijuana, and it was fun. I pray for my brother regularly. I don't believe that he's saved. And he is in a halfway house now in Michigan. They have to make sure that they monitor his medications because he's relatively stable if he stays on his medications. But if he goes off of his medications, I kid you not, he thinks he's from another planet, literally. And what a tragedy it is. But you see, deception. The marijuana was fun at first. You have to use a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. I'm just telling you that Satan is the great deceiver. And that's why, you know, we don't really need to be worshiping the devil to be deceived by the devil. Because the devil is a great deceiver. The next page, on page 2. He's a crafty schemer as well. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians 2:11. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, down in verse 11, it says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage over advantage of us." Excuse me. "For we are not ignorant of his devices." I just want to tell you something. While it is true that Christians cannot be demon-possessed, that is true because we have the Holy Spirit in us. 1 John 4:4 says, "Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world." But I want to tell you, Ephesians warns us, neither give place to the devil. And it's very interesting in relationship to that. Let me just get you there. Ephesians chapter 4, if you would, turn to verse 27. Ephesians 4:27. While a Christian cannot be demon-possessed, I'll tell you something. You can yield ground to the devil, and he's a great schemer, and you'll be surprised how that happens. If we look at Ephesians 4:24, it says, "And put ye on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." So when you're saved, you're supposed to get rid of the old stuff and put on the new stuff. In verse 25, it says, "Wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Now watch this. "And be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. neither give place to the devil. That's talking about a beachhead. That's talking about ground. You know what? Uncontrolled anger gives the devil a beachhead in your life. Let me just tell you one on me. I was running late for church. Pastor the previous church, and I'm yelling, "Get ready! We got to get to church! I'm going to be late! Come on, Linda, get those kids ready!" And so I'm out, and I'm starting the Jeep Cherokee and gunning the engine and getting it all ready to go and tapping my foot. And Linda gets the kids out there, and we get in, and such a good example, I put it in reverse and pop the clutch and spin gravel out of the driveway and come down to the bottom of the driveway of the hill, and I look both ways, I see a car coming, but what I didn't see was the car that was coming. I figured I could make it out and go around. I didn't see that the car was in my lane. And so I pulled out, and she smashed, a drunk lady smashed into us. Linda's got scars on her legs to this day because I'm in a big hot hurry to get to church. And guess what happened? That day I didn't get to church on time. And you know why? I was angry. We were late. I'm in a hurry. I'm not being cautious. And the fact of the matter is, to be real honest with you, I gave place to the devil. The anger there was taking away the sharpness that I should have had to see that that lady was drunk, weaving down on the wrong side of the road, and by the time I tried to get out of her way, smash. So you can be a believer, you can be a preacher, and you can give place to the devil if you don't exercise self-control. That's how the devil, he's not going to come in and possess you, but the devil is a crafty schemer. And he is an active opportunist, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, it's one that should be well known, but you need to know because I need to talk about it. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, Ephesians 6:11, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." How do you put on the whole armor of God? You get into the Word of God and you pray. But also, another passage of Scripture I want you to see, it says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness." Let me get that. Having no fellowship. Okay, can't find it right now. Ephesians 5:11, thank you. Let's turn to Ephesians 5:11. Ephesians 5, down in verse 11. It says, verse 10, it says, "Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Now, you can think whatever you want to think. But I'm going to tell you something here. I have dealt with more people in Christian homes that have occultic material that they shouldn't have in their homes. Do you have a Ouija board in your home? If you do, you ought to break it and burn it. Do you have tarot cards in your home? You ought to rip them up and get them. Say, "No, we don't have anything like that." Do you know what kind of video games are being played in your home? I can't tell you how demonic the video games are. And this is a true story. They're out of business now, but I got a call from Northland Baptist Bible College up there. I had a daughter graduate from there, another daughter go to there, but they said, Dr. Brown, can you counsel with a young man? And I said, well, why? He says, well, because he's into vampirism. And they found this out at Northland Baptist Bible College. He was even lacerating himself and drinking his own blood. He had gotten his schedule switched around. So his parents brought him down here. And you know where he got involved in this? He got involved in this in the Christian school. They started playing Dungeons and Dragons games that had to do with vampirism and all that kind of stuff. And you said, well, there's not really people like that. Wait just a minute. I was on a national talk show. They flew me from here to Washington, D.C., and I sat next to a vampire, and on the other side of me were two witches who worshiped Dagon. And Katrina was her name, and Katrina, I was talking to her during the commercials, tried to witness to her. It was kind of They tried to gang up on me, but I was prepared for them, and I'll tell you what happened in a minute. But the fact of the matter is I said, what in the world are you doing? She says, well, my donors, that's what she called them, my donors, I get a real high when I suck their blood. Now, we would think that that stuff is crazy, and it is! But it's demonic, friends. It is demonic. And then the two that worship Dagon, I said, you ought to read your Bible and see what happened to Dagon. Anybody remember what happened to Dagon? Oh, brother. But the fact of the matter is there's a reality out there, but it happened to be that at that time, it was called the Gordon Elliott Show, and it was a national talk show. What I did is they tried to soft pedal the occult and the things that they did. Well, I brought newspaper clippings and had them in my jacket, so when they came to me and tried to make me look like a fool, I pulled out the newspaper things and told it. But it's very interesting. They had sound difficulties, so whenever I was saying something, my mouth was moving, but they didn't hear anything. I threatened to sue them, and you know what they told me? The witch lobby was so strong in New York that they put the pressure on them because they did not want the truth out that I was saying there on a national television show. So don't tell me there aren't the forces of darkness. Don't tell me that video games are innocent, because I've seen it wreck kids' lives. And now all this marijuana that's coming out, and they're thinking about all the money they can get, they're going to have a bunch of idiot kids. And if you think the traffic with the drunk people is bad, wait till you get all them smoking pot. And they don't even have a test yet to determine whether they're high on pot or not.
Latest is vaping.
Yeah, vaping.
If you watch the news tonight, there's a guy in Burlington in the hospital near death because of vaping.
Because of vaping. Vaping is not harmless. In fact, it's probably worse than cigarettes. But anyway, all I'm trying to tell you is, 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove. And reprove means to expose it for what it is. I'm going from preaching to meddling. That's fine. But I've seen every time, and it's not just happening now. It's about 2 months before Halloween, they start having these horror slasher movies on television. It is not good to get that stuff into the mind, because it deadens the conscience, my friends. When you see that stuff, that horror stuff, over and over again, I've dealt with a number of teenagers who've gotten into the occult because of the type of stuff that they have watched on television. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. The devil is an active opportunist, and he's going to take every advantage that he possibly can to promote his doctrine, to promote what he wants. And I'll tell you what, the thief cometh not but to kill, to steal, and to what? Destroy. Jesus Christ said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You really don't have to worry, for the most part, about devil worship. What you have to worry about is the stuff that are in the games, is the stuff that's on television, is the stuff that they're getting it's in school. I've had, right here in Wisconsin, parents call me up where they've had witches come in around Halloween. The late Vic Eliason and I took him up he owned an airplane, and I took him up to the largest occult circle sanctuary near Mount Horeb at Halloween, and you could see all the witch fires and all the stuff that was going on over Circle Sanctuary as we went there. We went underground in there. I've heard witches barking at the moon and speaking in tongues. Don't tell me this stuff doesn't exist, because it does. And the spiritism that is going on today, they call it New Age. It's not New Age. It's discandy-coated occult, my friends. And so the devil isn't going to come right out and go, rah! But what he does is he introduces his doctrines in the games. He introduces his doctrines on the TV show. He introduces his doctrines in the drugs, or his things in the drugs, and gets people hooked at it a little time. And then, just like my brother, it was a good time for him, a good time. But now, today, he can't hold down a job, and he's pretty much wrecked his mind. And I pray for him regularly and witness for him regularly. But as far as I know, he's not trusted Christ as Savior. So, the devil is really an intelligent being, and he is a real being. Satan, though, is a created being. Luke chapter 10, verse 18, it says, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. Jesus believed that Satan was real. And to begin with, I want you to understand that God created Lucifer. We're going to look at this in a minute. You can get there early if you want, Ezekiel chapter 28. But God did not create the devil. I want you to get that in your head. God did not create the devil. He did not create a sinful creature. God created a beautiful angel who was righteous, who was holy, who was good. So let's look at Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 14. Ezekiel 28, down in verse 14, it says, Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I believe that Lucifer was the, and you know, unless you have a King James version of the Bible, you're not going to find Lucifer. If you have a modern version, it's not there. Thou art the anointed cherub which covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mount of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Verse 15 now, I want you to see this. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created. God did not create an evil being. He was the anointed cherub. I believe that he was the highest of God's angelic creation. The angel is sometimes known as Lucifer because of Isaiah 14, verse 12, Lucifer, the son of the morning. That's where it says that. He was very close to God, and he served in the very presence of God. He was one of the most important angels, if not the most important angel that God had created. God tells us that this angel, what he's like in Ezekiel 28, let's go back to verse 11. While you're in Ezekiel 28, we're going to look at 11 through 19. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, it says, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. And who was this? Tyrus, the king of Tyrus, also called Lucifer. Thou hast been in what? Eden, the garden of God. Beautiful being. Look at this. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, the gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in the day that thou wast created. That leads me to believe that Lucifer was a musical being. Let me just warn you, this morning I was watching Fox News and there's a lady there who professes to be a believer. Her name is Ainsley. She's an attractive blonde. She has a Bible study on Fox News, and she was lauding this band, which is a heavy metal Christian rock band. Now, I can just tell you that more people have gotten into the occult by music than about every other thing that I know of. I go back to the days of Ozzy Osbourne and so many of him biting the heads off bats and doing all those kinds of things. Some of you are so young you don't understand all that, but I remember when the heavy metal and all that kinds of, and the demonic lyrics and all those kind of things. Now, somebody will say, well, you know, Christian heavy metal music. Well, you know, you can't, if I had two glasses of water up there, and I took just a little bit of horse manure, just a little bit of horse manure, and put it in one glass of water, and then offered you to drink it, how many of you would drink it? Not if you're smart. You don't want the pure one. I just want to tell you that you cannot have the world's heavy metal music. Do you know when they offered the children to Molech how they covered up the screaming? It was in the valley of Tophet. You know what Tophet means? The drum. It was in the garden of the drum. And what they would do is they would beat their drums, and like the Indians do, they would beat their drums until they would get into an altered state of consciousness, and they would offer the human sacrifice of those babies in Tophet, there in a section of Gehenna, and that's how they would do it. You can't, any more than you could have, I'm going to say, it's not going to happen, but I can say, you're not, as long as my tenure here, you're never going to have Christian rock music and drums on the platform at First Baptist Church here. I just think music is to be melodious. You do need a beat, but if the beat is over strong, you know, when my heart starts beating out of my chest, I'm sick. You need melody and harmony, and you do need a beat, but it is subdued. But if I said, okay, men, I want you to get all your friends because I have a Christian Bambi coming, and she's going to strip in the morning service to Amazing Grace. You would say, yeah, you would do this, like, because you say, what? Nuts? I can see Jim saying, I'm calling a deacon's meeting right now. He's the chairman of the deacons. That's the last for you, preacher. But it's no different than what I'm talking about here. Satan was a musical being, and I could go up and play on the piano. I can play on the piano. If I play things in a major chord, it affects you in one way. But if I go up and play on the piano a minor chord, you know what? Your mind goes someplace different. And so what I'm saying was, as we're looking at this, remember that the devil, I believe, was a musical being. And he knows how to use music to his advantage. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Wow. Then we go on, and here we see that he's corrupted his wisdom. And then it says this, by the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. You see, the problem with Satan was Lucifer, but he started out Lucifer and became Satan. And look at verse 28:17. It says, thine heart was lifted up with thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. Pride got him. Pride got him. That's what happened. And I'm running out of time, but if you will just turn to the next page, we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 14. If you go back to Isaiah 14, and you'll see what a great how pride really got him. We see in Isaiah 14 and verse 12. Here's what it says. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground? Oops, I don't know how I did that. I got to go back to it because my screen just shifted. Let's try it again. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. Okay, there we go. It says in verse 13, for thou hast said in thy heart, here it is. Now remember, he's a created being, right? I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, above the other angels. I will sit upon the mount of the north in the congregation, in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. Now look at this. I will be like the Most High. Do you see the steps? I will occupy heaven, verse 13. I will exercise authority, verse 13. I will have all in subjection to me. I'll be over everybody else, verse 13. I will possess God's glory, verse 14. I will be as God. See, that's what Satan even wants today. He's having his last hurrah in the tribulation. And his man, the Antichrist, who Satan possessed, he's going to sit in the temple and he's going to be worshipped as God. That's what he's always wanted. But verse 15 says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. We need to be cautious, because if we think we're something, he that thinketh himself to be something that he's not is in deep trouble. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goeth before destruction. God can do without me. God can do without you. He wants to use us, but if you get an inflated idea of your own importance, don't think that God can't do without you. Destruction and a haughty spirit come before the fall. I'll just tell you what, we need to be very, 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 very cautious, because how the devil gets Christians is by pride. So many times by pride. So we have to be very cautious about that. The devil, a created being, said that he was going to be worshipped as God. And I want to tell you something. He's going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. Now, as believers, we have to be cautious. Don't suffer from a false sense of pride. The Bible says, don't think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. I've worked with some people, and you go and ask them to do something, and say, Pastor, I just really can't do that. You hear them singing, they sing so well, and all this kind of stuff. You ask them to use it for the Lord, and, oh, no, Pastor, I can't carry a tune in a bushel basket. Well, I've heard them sing, so I know that that's not true. You see, a false sense of humility, you're not fooling anybody. Faithful is God who calleth you, who will also do it. So you don't want a false sense of humility, but by the same token, you don't want to think that you're more important than you are. Romans 12, 1 and 2, and I'll be done. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, just remember, if we know Christ as our Savior, all of us are only sinners saved by grace. Be careful when you're dealing with people. You can get your nose up in the air and say, oh, I'd never be like that druggie. You're only a sinner saved by what? Grace. Except by the grace of God, there go I. Well, I've got to cut that off and be done, but you have your notes if you choose to follow along and study some more of it. Don't see a devil behind every bush. Most of your problem is with the world and the flesh. And the devil isn't going to come and show himself as hideous. What he's going to do is, you know, try and get you to compromise your testimony. What he's going to do is try and get your mouth to be shut up so you don't witness. What he's going to try to do is get you to have a false sense of your own importance and get all involved in pride. Those are the things that he does. And so just be aware of who he is and what he's trying to do, because we need people who are going to keep their eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, there's none of us who are perfect here. Not me, not you. Christians aren't sinless, but as we walk with the Lord, we do sin less.